We're talking about Shemei Kona today. And the reason is, it's not as much of a tangent as it sounds like, because even though it's not explicit in the Mishnah, as we mentioned last week when we started, it is brought up by the Vilna Gaon in his comments on this Mishnah, and while it's a little bit of a weak connection there, it's as strong a connection as you're going to get, and it is a real topic, especially in talking Hilchos Kriyas Shema, and the Gemara doesn't get much more explicit than that, at least within Brachos. And since if we're going to talk about Kriyas Shema, it's on the agenda, and Shemei Kona as a whole is a topic that is relevant behind the scenes to the whole Masechta, so it's as appropriate a place as it's going to be. So for today, we'll try to discuss that a little bit, both within the context of Kriyas Shema and within the broader perspective of Kol HaTorah Kula, and to put it in non-grandiose terms. And then outside tomorrow, we'll try to move on a little bit with smaller points and Beis and Gimel. Okay, so as we mentioned, so the Vilna Gaon has a comment that the Mishnah uses a plural language, me'emesai karin es hashma, and that's contrasted with the phrase the Mishnah uses for brachos, where it says b'shachar mivarech, etc. Uses a singular language. And again, we mentioned that the similar comment was made earlier by the Ritva. The Ritva in his opening comments to Maseches Megillah, who also played up on the fact that the Mishnah says their Megillah nikreis, a singular language for how the Megillah is read, and the Vilna Gaon and the Ritva suggest that this usage of plural versus singular is meant to convey that Shemaya Kaona is not relevant here. That if the phrase is used in a singular sense, it's to say that one person could be reading and other people can be listening and fulfilling their mitzvah that way. And the usage of a plural verb here of karun is to say that that's not an option. That when it comes to Kriyas Shema, everyone's got to read to himself. And this Vilna Gaon is also, this position of Vilna Gaon is also discussed in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch and the Bir Agra and Zimin Nun Tes. And it's a discussion, it's not at all so posh. In the Sefer Shar Masuyanim Bahalacha, he quotes the Ramban over here that says like that. I don't know where the Ramban is. The Ramban that we have, it doesn't have on Beis Min Aleph, so I don't know where this Ramban is inside, but that's it's quoted in some Sfarim. This is a discussion whether or not this is true. If we look in the Magen Avraham, that's indicated the right source of Samach Aleph. So on the last Magen Avraham and Simon Samach Aleph, so again, it's kind of a roundabout way of getting to the point. There, the Din in Shulchan Aruch talks about whether or not you should say this pasuk out loud. Should you say Kriyas Shema out loud? And the Magen Avraham gives you a little bit of a confusing impression about what his take on our issue is, because first he quotes the Maharam Malashkar, who said that it's not a good idea to say Kriyas Shema out loud. Why not? Because somebody might hear you and think that he can use that to be Yotza his Kriyas Shema. In other words, implying apparently that that's not going to be good, that it's not possible to be Yotze Kriyas Shema through Shomei Kaone. While he then quotes the Re'eim, who apparently takes the other stance, that it is possible to be Yotze Kriyas Shema through Shomei Kaone. And then the Magen Avraham refers you elsewhere, and the Nosei Kalim and the super commentaries discuss what exactly is the Magen Avraham's position. It's discussed somewhere that maybe it works with a minyan, but not the Yechidus, which is a very difficult position to understand why a minyan is a relevant concept at all when it comes to Kriyas Shema. There is a nice tshuva about this in the Tshuva's Lev Avram, if anyone has access. I don't know if there is one anywhere, but the Tshuva's Lev Avram of Avram Weidenfeld, there's a nice tshuva about this topic. And in general, this is a question. Is there really an applicability of Shemei Kaona to Kriyas Shema? The Shagas Aryeh in Siman Vav, Shagas Aryeh was older than the Gra. The Shagas Aryeh met the Gra when the Shagas Aryeh was old and the Gra was young. So Shagas Aryeh came before. And in Siman Vav, he has a discussion which we'll come back to in this conversation, what the details are, but he seems to take it as a Davar Pashut, that Shemei Kona does work for Kriyas Shema. So we're not totally clear on what exactly is the mainstream view here. The Gra has a couple of rayas. Is the Yerushalmi, which has a sentence that seems like it's mistaber, that everyone should read, everyone should be mishanein, really means to learn that for himself, everyone should be saying it for himself. And there are phrases that the Gra alludes to, there's a Mishnah in Sota, in the fifth parak of Sota, which talks about the Shira al Hayam and his machlokis in the Mishnah, whether the Shira was read by the Jews and by Moshe Rabbeinu like Hallel or like Shema. It sounds like from there that Hallel means that Moshe was saying it and everyone listened, and Hallel means Moshe said it, and Kriya Shema means that Moshe said it and everyone else read it. And everyone else repeated it after him. So that perhaps implies, like the girl was trying to say, that when it comes to Kriya Shema, everyone says it on their own. So there are a number of rayas, it's also a Kamara in Tainus that the girl alludes to. A number of indications that are not so ironclad, but that seem to indicate that at least in practice, Shema Kone was not utilized by Kriya Shema. Hi? So that seems... Right, so I want to get to that in a second. So let's get to that in a second. Is that really the reasoning behind it? So the question is, just logically speaking, like Shalom is raising, that if we're assuming that for some reason Shemei Ka'one is not relevant to Kriya Shema, so why is that? So you do find some saying that, because when it comes to Kriya Shema, so there is such a central personal component of Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim, and it's not shaykh that you should do that through someone else. The Karen Orah in his comments over here, the Karen Orah understands that the act of Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim that is inherent in Kriya Shema moves this out of the realm of speech and into the realm of action. That when I say Kriya Shema, I'm doing something. I'm not just saying something, I'm taking upon something. And therefore that constitutes an action. And we don't have a concept of Shemei Ka'one by actions. Shemei Ka'one is limited to speech. That's one possibility. Abu Dram is quoted in some Sfarim as understanding this to be a drasha from Dibartem Bam, that everyone should have their own Dibur. The Lev Avram in this tshuva questions whether or not that's meant to be a an understanding on a level deraisa, or is that supposed to be a reflection of a later rabbinical notion? But these are some of the spins that are out there. Right?
How can you say that it's an action?
You say that even though it's something you're doing through speech, mm-hmm. but the speech is your way of stepping forward and accepting Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim.
How can you say something about Kiddush when you're kind of doing through speech?
You probably can. No, which is again why this is not such a clear point to begin with. That after the fact, once you have some theorizing that, or whatever, if you had these impressions from the Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara in Sota, from Yerushalmi, that there's something in Kriya Shema that differs, the question is, what is it? So maybe to some point, this is what the Karen Orah is trying to theorize, that maybe it leaves the realm of speech and enters the realm of your standing up and taking a position. And Kiddush, even though Kiddush, Everything you're going to say has some effect. You know, saying, I read the Megillah is being mefarshim, everything is doing something else. But when I say these words, it's not just really that the commandment on me is to say the words. The commandment is to actually take an action, which I'm doing through the words. But it's going to be a little bit of a ephemeral type of distinction, which is going to be part of a problem. Hi.
Do you have a principle, either identically or at least parallel of it, of mitzvah bo yosem shlucho by Shnei Kohanim?
Yeah, I want to talk about that. We'll get to that. On the surface, I'm going to say yes. And we'll come back to where we see it in Svarim. Okay, so let's presume for a second that it's true that when it comes to Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim, it's not shaykh to do that through somebody else. Or let's presume, like the way the Abba Dram was saying, the Torah wants everyone to be medaber by themselves. So, does Shomei Ka'ona really compromise that? What exactly is going on when we have Shomei Ka'ona? So this is a major discussion in the Achronim. And of course it traces back to positions in Rishonim that we'll discuss. But the major battleground spelling out how this plays out is really located in later Sfarim. And that really starts with a comment of the Beis Halevi. That the Beis Halevi has a comment which is not found in his normal Sfarim. It's in normal Sefer, but it's not a normal place. That's not in the Tshuvas, it's in the Sefer HaTorah, in the end. And the Sefer HaTorah doesn't go so far. He only has on Bereishis and on part of Shmos. And then in the end he has a little bit of Chanukah. And then like towards the end there's a paragraph there, really in the middle of nowhere, where he quotes what an anonymous Chacham said. And I have it on good authority. This anonymous Chacham is actually, I think, of Shlomo Mevilna, author of the Binyan Shlomo, said in interpreting a Mishnah in Megillah. Mishnah in Megillah talks about people having certain kibbutim, certain roles, and in that context it says, "V'hu noses kapa," this guy gets to duchen. So the anonymous Chacham asks, what do you mean we're talking about duchening as if that's a kibbutz? Right? So, but it comes to duchening, when it comes to Birkas Kohen, maybe you're a Kohen and you're not. But if you're a Kohen, so all the Kohanim go up in duchen. And if you're not a Kohen, so you're not going to be involved anyway. So what does the Mishnah mean when it singles out somebody is doing the duchen? So this Chacham suggested that apparently the custom in the time of the Mishnah was for duchening to be done through Shamei Kohanim, that one Kohen would get up and all the other Kohanim would listen to this Kohen. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about, that this guy has this chus to be the one who's doing the Birkas Kohanim for everybody.
What was the question?
Question was, why does the Mishnah talk about it? Well, who knows, this guy gets the honor of duchening. Duchening is not something that we pick an individual in the shul to do. The duchening of all the Kohanim go up and do, or for whatever reason they don't, but for the most part, duchening is all the Kohanim who are eligible.
Why is that mashmas? What's the context that it sounds like it's a kibbutz?
It mentions it's talking about the guy who does this and the guy who does that, and he also gets to duchen. Uh-huh. So he says, how are we singling out one person as duchening? Doesn't everybody duchen? Or all the Kohanim duchen? Either way, it's not like we select somebody's mechubit with duchening. So all the Kohanim are duchening. So this Chacham, apparently was what Shlomo Vilna said, that means that, no, and they, apparently in the time of the Mishnah, the minhag was, they would pick somebody to duchen and everyone else would do it through Shemei Kohen. Sorry? So does that seem to indicate that Birkas Kohanim would work? Oh, so that this is relevant to what the objection Beis HaLevi writes. So as Rawail is alluding to, so the Beis HaLevi objected very strongly to this suggestion. And the Beis HaLevi was of the opinion that Birkas Kohanim is not subject to Shemei Kohen. Now, why that is a discussion. The others who felt like this for other reasons, the Netziv has a tshuva about this, in which I think he also says that for other reasons, Birkas Kohanim is not relevant to Shemei Kohen. But the Beis HaLevi argues for a specific reason that's very important to the whole understanding of this concept. Now, the confusing part is that the exact intent of the Beis HaLevi's comments is subject to debate. And in many Sfarim it's taken a certain way, but we'll mention that many members of the Beis HaLevi's family, or many students, Rishayach, the inner Brisker circle, question if this is really what the Beis HaLevi meant. But the more common understanding outside the family of what the Beis HaLevi was saying is as follows. That Birkas Kohanim cannot have Shemei Kohanim. Because Shemei Kohanim, what do the words mean, Shemei Kohanim? It means that if I hear something, so it's as if I'm saying it. So therefore, I can fulfill a mitzvah. A mitzvah is just speech. So I can fulfill a mitzvah by hearing it. If it's an action, so it's not going to work. But a speech, I could hear the speech and I could fulfill the mitzvah that way. So that would work if the mitzvah is only speech. But if the mitzvah contains a component that is not speech, so therefore, yes, my shmiya will be as if I'm talking, but what good does it do me if I'm talking if I'm still missing whatever other component it is? Now, when we talk about Birkas Kohanim, so what's the component that's missing? So, as Rabbi was alluding to, so there is a din in Birkas Kohanim that's not enough that the Kohanim have to be saying the words, but they have to be saying the words loudly. They call it wrong. They have to be saying this to the whole tzibur. So, if I were to be, let's say if a Kohen were to listen to Birkas Kohanim rather than saying it, so you want to tell me that the listening is like talking, fine. Okay, it's like talking. But it's certainly no better than whispering. Right? If I'm whispering, I'm talking also at a very low volume. So if I'm listening and Shemei Kohanim, so I'm talking at the lowest possible volume. And we know that when it comes to Birkas Kohanim, there's a requirement of a high volume. So therefore Shemei Kohanim is not going to work. Apparently Likuva, right. So that all it would do is Shemei Kohanim would make it as if the Kohen was saying the words in a very, very low voice. And a very low voice is not good enough. Why did the Rambam bring it up by
Koran Bishma?
Because no one holds this, that there's a chiyuv of Koran Bishma. The question is, is it a good idea or not? Yeah. But when it comes to, and we'll discuss in a second even more so why Bavirka's Koran is much more significant than Kriyashma. But in any case, so the way the Beis Halevi has been understood is that any time there's a component in a mitzvah other than pure speech, Shemei Ka'ona is not viable. Shemei Ka'ona, all it does is it means you're saying the words that you're hearing. But if you have to do anything besides say, it's not going to help. Right? So, first of all, this goes to the debate about how to interpret the Beis Halevi saying. So let me mention the other half now. So it does, if you look in a lot of the Brisker Svarim, if you look in the, like the Matike Shmua or whatever it is, it quotes from Svarim from the Griz, and I think the Rav was quoted as explaining similarly this also. I think in the Avi Ezri it quotes like this a number of Svarim that are more directly associated with the Brisker tradition directly. They suggest that the Beis Halevi never meant to say what he's quoted as saying. That he did not mean to say that any time a mitzvah is going to have a side component, so Shemei Ka'ona is not going to work. And it's going to involve a lot of problems, as we'll discuss in a second. Rather, he meant a very limited thing that's relevant specifically to Birkas Kohanim. That when it comes to Birkas Kohanim, it's not that this Kol Rom thing is a condition in the mitzvah. It's that the obligation of the mitzvah is to make the people hear you. It's that it involves a communication between the Kohanim and the Tzibur. So therefore, again, if I hear the bracha, so, okay, I heard it, but no sense of my communicating that to anybody else. So if it was just a t'nai that the mitzvah had to be loud, so then it could be, maybe on some level, we'll discuss this, that maybe that part could have transferred over. But l'maisa, practically speaking, there's no communication between this Kohen who's listening and other people. That's what the Beis Halevi was objecting to. So this is again the way many of the right that requires that there be a connection. So many there are many again from the Brisker tradition who suggest that the Beis Halevi's words are really much more limited and is really only relevant to Birkas Kohanim. But again, in the larger world out there, so there were a lot of understandings in many svarim that the Beis Halevi was saying a principle that Shomei Ka'ona only works for speech. And not for anything outside of speech. I think, so did you still have a question? Okay, sorry. Hi.
Is there a middle ground where people who understand the Beis Halevi as talking about loudness as opposed to communication but don't believe that he necessarily would extend that rule to other areas?
I'm sure there must be. If you look around. But first, let's try to clarify the two points and we'll see where the middle ground could possibly fall. But basically, so this is how many Achronim understood from the Beis Halevi, that any time a mitzvah is going to have any side component, it's not going to work. And for example, it's often quoted the Chumrah from the Ragachavar, which I think many people are knowing, that when they listen to Kriyas HaMegillah, so when it comes to the Asaras Bnei Haman, so the Israelites are really supposed to read those 10 names in one breath. So for the whole rest of the Megillah, we can do through Shemei Ka'ona because it's as if we're talking. But when it comes to the sons of Haman, it's not as if we're talking in one breath. So therefore, there are those who have a Chumrah that they read the 10 sons of Haman themselves because they assume it's not possible to do this component of one breath through Shemei Ka'ona. Now this is something that especially those Achronim who interpret the Beis Halevi differently are certainly going to argue on. But there are many people who argue on the whole principle and say, no, that Shemei Ka'ona works in a totally different way. And perhaps most prominent among the later Achronim who are arguing this point is the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, in his comments on Aruch Chaim, Aruch Chavtes, understands Shemei Ka'ona in a very different way. Yeah?
Even the Shittasim, they're not going to say that the Asaras Bnei Haman is a separate mitzvah from the rest of the Megillah. According to them, it says it's two components to a mitzvah, and you can't be Yotze. Once you have a mitzvah of Dibur and Maisa, you can't be Yotze any of the Dibur without the Maisa. Then according to them, you shouldn't be able to use a Megillah with Shnei Ka'ona.
No, you can, because Megillah happens to have this advantage that you can do it, right, switching off. So let you hear the 99% of it that's not B'Shem Achas through somebody else. And then this part you can't do through Shnei Ka'ona. No one says that you should hold your breath while listening to the Chazon say the 10 names. He's saying that you should say the 10 names while holding your breath. That small portion of Megillah you can't do through Shnei Ka'ona. But the rest of it, you can't. Mm-hmm. But you could ask a different question, which is basically addressed in the Chazon Ish's comments. That if you're going to take the Beis HaLevi's, this understanding of the Beis HaLevi to its logical extension, there are many other common practices that are going to be very difficult. Specifically in the area of Kiddush and Megillah. Right? Megillah, we know, is a very prominent example of Shema Kohen, as we're discussing. But there's a halacha that you have to read the Megillah from a kosher Megillah. So if the Beis HaLevi is taken the way he's taken, so then one should be machmir, apparently, to sit with a kosher Megillah. You don't have to read it out loud, you can hear, but the way the Beis HaLevi is taken in that sense, it would be that you're listening to the Kriyas Megillah as if you're saying the whole Megillah out loud. That's great, but you're saying it out loud out of your printed Megillah. And that's not going to be kosher. So therefore, if the Beis HaLevi version 1 is correct, so then you have to take your own kosher Megillah and read it that way. Or, for example, Kiddush. So when you hear Kiddush, so maybe you have a little bit of wine in front of you, maybe you don't. Chances are you don't have a full cup that's going to qualify for Kiddush when you listen to Kiddush. And again, take the Beis HaLevi to its full extent, that would probably be necessary. But again, you hear Kiddush through Shema Kona, so fine, so you're saying the words of Kiddush. But at the end of the day, you're not holding any wine. And that's a requirement, at least Midrabanan, who discussed yesterday, that's a requirement that you're going to have wine present. And how's that going to work? Now again, you could say Anachanami, maybe we should be machmer and all these things, but we know clearly that's not the prevalent practice. Certainly not with Megillah and the Kiddush either, really. Sorry?
Having a Megillah in front of you is maybe the obvious choice, but having a Megillah in front of you is not a mice you have to do. It's just the way.
No, because the question is, if I hear Megillah read, mm-hmm. so then if you're going to say like this first version, that therefore, what does it mean? It means as if I'm saying all those words out loud. So great, but if I'm saying all those words out loud, I still don't have a Megillah in front of me. If somebody were to actually say all those words out loud, it wouldn't be any good. If somebody knew the whole Megillah by heart, or if somebody read the whole Megillah out loud out of a printed Megillah, it's not going to count. So if I hear somebody else saying it, you're going to tell me the halacha says it's as if I'm saying it. So that's great. So I'm saying it out of a printed Megillah. What good is that?
Is that because we require a mitzvah of kriya?
No, it's not. It's that the fact is that if you understand Shema Ka'ona as meaning that I am saying the words that I'm listening to, then that's not going to help for Megillah.
I know. The words I'm listening to are being said from itself.
Oh, so that's how you have to understand it differently. The way you're saying it is fundamentally different. Let me finish saying it. We'll see how it's different. So the way the Chazon Ish understands is that Shema Ka'ona doesn't mean that when I hear the words, it's as if I'm saying the words. Rather, it means that this is an alternative, if that's what you mean. The Torah is telling us, the Chiddush of Shema Ka'ona is that when you have a mitzvah that's speech-related, so it's not actually necessary that I say the words. That if somebody else who is a bar chayuva, somebody else who's obligated, is saying the words, I have an option of joining in on his mitzvah, and by listening, I take part in this mitzvah. And that's really what happens. Well, how would you understand the phrase?
Like he is speaking, or shmekona means the Shamea is like the owner to people.
Right, so that's a good. So that boils down to how you interpret the phrase. The way Akiva was putting it is that you could say Shamea Ka'ona means that Shamea is as if one is being owner, as if one is saying the words. That would be the first take in the Beis HaLevi version 1. Or the way the Chazon Ish is saying it is that Shamea is Ke'ona, like the person, the owner. The guy who's talking, the Shamea is like him. So the same way he fulfills the mitzvah, the Shemaya also fulfills the mitzvah. So that's when it comes to Megillah, you have to say it to Chazon Ish for it to work. According to the Beis HaLevi, it's not going to help. The fact that you heard him from Mitoch HaKsav, but if it means that you're hearing it is like you're saying it, you're not saying it Mitoch HaKsav. I understand what you're saying, but I think you're basically rephrasing it to become the Chazon Ish.
I think I'm doing that. I think that it still is what I'm saying it, but the point is, the question in not the Hagdara Shema Ka'ona, is an issue in the Hagdara of the Chiyuv of Mikra Megillah. Why do you need Krimi Tov HaKsav? Does it require Maisa of Krimi Tov HaKsav? Mm-hmm. Or is it the Kriya that's done, the words that are being stated, have to be stated in Tov HaKsav? The difference is, the words are being stated in Tov HaKsav, so just as much as I'm repeating what he's saying, I'm repeating it in the context of how he's saying it.
But at the end of the day, if it only means, if Shema Ka'ona only means the words, So in the end of the day, I don't have a Megillah.
The difference is that when it comes to Birkas Kohanim, there are two issues. There's a Maisa,
right.
Kol Ram, and there's an Amira.
Correct.
Those are two separate actions. Here, there's no...
Not necessarily. Well, why would that be taken as two separate actions?
Components. There's two components.
Okay.
If you want to see like, the fines, that's already getting off this idea of this label. Let's take like, the first approach. It's two separate components to one mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to Birkas Megillah, there's no two components to one mitzvah. I think two components. Oh, Kriya and Mitoch HaKsav.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Hagdara of the Kriya is... I'm sorry, the Hagdara of the Kriya, but it's the...
I'm not sure if these distinctions are really going to boil down to a difference, other than really just articulating the difference between the Chazon Ish and the Beis Halevi. That the Beis Halevi means you're saying those words. So if you have an obligation to be saying those words out of the text, it doesn't help if that's all you're doing. Well, the Chazon Ish is saying that it means more than that. The Chazon Ish is saying it means that you join in what that guy is doing. And therefore, if that guy is saying Mitzvah Chaksav, or that guy is holding a cup of wine, so then you fill in his obligation, you join in, you hop on a ride with him, and therefore that works better. Sorry, yeah, hi.
The exact same thing. You see, because time you have to say it loud.
Mm-hmm.
You say it quietly, it's not working. And Megillah, you have to say it out of the sound. You don't say it out of the sound, out of your own brain. That's right. Isn't that the same thing?
Same thing for the Beis Halevi?
No, I mean, because he wants to say...
Yeah, I think it is the same thing. So I think that difference maybe we'll talk about more privately, because I think for the most part it is the same thing. Okay, so this boils down to a fundamental difference as to what, again, as Akiva put it, to sum it up, what does Shemei Kone mean? Does it mean that it's just as if I'm saying these words, or I join in whatever that guy is doing? So if that guy is holding a cup of wine, so then I'm also holding a cup of wine. Or I'm also joining in a Kiddush that's being made over a cup of wine. Hi. So he doesn't address Birkas Kohanim head on, I don't think. I don't remember. But I don't think you'd have to say that, because you could still say that Birkas Kohanim has whatever other reason. It's probably not going to work. And especially like the way, again, the Briskers understood the Beis Halevi, is he's not saying any fundamental principle in Shemei Kohanim. It's just that there's a communication issue here that's going to be lacking, which is going to be an external component. But that there's nothing meant here to extrapolate to other things. Some Sfarim talk about by Mikra Bikurim, for example, is that based on the Beis Halevi? That is Shemei Kohanim at work for Mikra Bikurim when there's an obligation for you to come to the Kohen and read the Parsha of Bikurim? So there it could be that based on the Beis Halevi that's not going to work, even like the Briskers say, that involves talking to the Kohen, and that's not something that you can do through for somebody else. Hi.
Why are we seeing a more fundamental distinction between the requirement to communicate when speaking and the requirement to speak while holding a cup of wine? In both cases, there's some sort of a supplementary requirement added tacked on to the speech. Why is one fundamentally more different than the other?
Because there's a practical element that's going to be missing in the communication. When it talks about holding a cup of wine, so it just means that's the way the words have to be said. They have to be said over wine, have to be said out of a Megillah. And he's doing it that way, and I join in with him. So my obligation is to say it, and to say it in this way. If my obligation is to talk to somebody, so then if he can't hear me, so I'm not talking to him. So that's going to be something more absolute. So this difference really does affect a lot of things. In conversation, Rav Shechter has mentioned that he seems to take it as a davar pashut, the Chazon Ish is correct. He thinks that that's the more correct interpretation, which again saves us from having to come up with new chumras in Kiddush and Megillah. He mentioned once, I think, that he heard of somebody who insisted that everybody at the Shabbos table should have two full challahs in front of him for Hamotzi, because you can't be Yotze Lecha Mishnah through Shemei Kohanim on Hamotzi, because it's as if you're saying Hamotzi, but you don't have full challahs in front of you. So therefore, everyone has to have challahs in front of him. And again, the impression was that he did not think this was at all Kedai Chumra. Whether or not it falls into a Beis Halevi, you can question, but in any case, he thought that the Chazon Ish's opinion was the dominant one, and certainly there wouldn't be a need for such a position. The fact that we know that Shemei Kohanim requires the person who you're hearing it from be a bar chiyuva, be somebody who is obligated in the mitzvah, at least on your level. If you're obligated in the Torah and he's obligated in the Rabbanan, it's not going to help. He has to be at least as obligated as you are. So that really does also lend a little more support and credibility to the Chazon Ish's position. The idea that that guy is fulfilling a mitzvah, and through you're joining in with him, you're joining in on his mitzvah. So he's got to be doing something at least on the level that you're obligated. while if Shemekah only just meant that by hearing the words, you are fulfilling the mitzvah, so then you could say, well, why? Let me hear it from a tape recorder. Let me hear it from anybody. Why should it matter the fact that I'm hearing it from a Baruch Yehuda? Which is a question of Lumdus in general. I'm not saying there isn't a way to answer the question, but on the surface, it does seem to work better with the Chazon Ish's position.
How would this tie into the secret Yetzias Mitzrayim, for example?
Where it's also a question.
So most people say it along quietly through the Yodas. Chazon Ish would say that you don't have to.
Possibly. I don't know if he addresses it directly. It's not possible. But it does affect a number of other issues. And it basically, again, boils down to the fundamental question of what's happening here. I think the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, I think, in Parak Aleph, Lachir Aleph, writes that if you hear a bracha from somebody else, you have intent to be Yotzei, so hare, so then you are Yotzei the Mitzvah. And if you actually go so far as to say Amen, so hare, you come avar. So those who suggest that the Rambam is basically reflecting the two possibilities here, the two levels, that when you listen to somebody else's bracha, so the mechanism of Shema Ka'ona allows you to fulfill the mitzvah through listening to him. But if you actually go so far as to say Amen, and we often understand Amen as being part of the Shema Ka'ona process, but it's not really true. Amen is really a separate thing. By hearing the words, that's Shema Ka'ona, and Amen is a different concept, and Amen basically has a connotation of ditto. So it's like saying everything that I've heard till now, I am now repeating. So the way the Rambam says it, that if I just hear the bracha and I join in, so that's Shema Ka'ona, that's going to be as if I did it myself. That's going to be enough to make me fulfill the mitzvah. But if I actually say Amen, then that's like saying the words I heard, that's even more. So it could be these two levels exist as two possibilities. And then for the Rambam, we're saying that normal Shema Ka'ona is not like you're saying the words, it's just like you're hearing it. And so then you fulfill it through hearing it. And by actually saying Amen, that's how you actually fulfill the obligation.
What do you gain by that?
What do you gain by doing
having,
yourself?
Yeah, as you said, the word.
Whatever it is you gain. Yeah, whatever. Well, maybe we'll talk about what you may possibly gain.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to get to Mitzvah Yisrael Mishlucha, but hold off on that thought. So, as you may have seen, so there is an interesting dispute between Rashi and Tosfos that appears as a Rashi in Sukkah and the Tosfos here in Brachos and Daf Chof Aleph. And the dispute concerns an interesting topic in halacha, which, as Hashem, if we get to it, we'll give it more treatment head on, but just the part that's relevant to us. So let's say if somebody is in the middle of Shmon Esrei, right? Ma'isim b'chol yom, you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei, you're behind, and the shul's up to Kedusha. So you're not supposed to be mastic in the middle of Shmon Esrei. So what should you do as far as the fact that the shul is saying Kedusha and you want to answer? So again, Bez Hashem can give that sugya on its own right more attention later. But the point that's relevant to us is that Rashi suggests, don't worry, you don't have to be masik. What you'll do is you'll just be quiet, and you'll listen. And through Shomei Ka'oneh, that's how you're going to answer. Satosa says, no, that's gefarlich. That's a horrible idea. Because if you're going to do that, so then, Shomei Ka'ona, that's a hefsek. Better Yidavka shouldn't stop, because then you won't be Yotzei, but you won't be Masik in the middle of your Shmon Esrei. In the end, Tosfos says that he knows the minig is not like him. The minig that was accepted is that people do stop. But as far as alumnus, Tosfos thinks that this Rashi and the minig is very dangerous. It's going to be basically that you're talking, and that is a hefsek in the middle of Shmon Esrei.
So,
I think he says that because of Shema Ka'ona it makes it into a Hefzer. So there you seem to see these two sides expressing themselves as well. That maybe the way Rashi understands is that Shema Ka'ona doesn't mean that it's as if I'm talking. It means that through hearing the bracha, I am part of that bracha. I am part of that mitzvah, whatever it is. So therefore, when this other guy is saying when the chazan or when the shul was saying kedusha and I listened to it, so I'm yotzei, and it's not like I'm talking in the middle of Shmon Esrei. But according to Tosfos, it's even more than that. According to Tosfos, actually talking is hearing Shema Ka'ona is considered actually talking, and therefore it's like you were actually saying words in the middle of Shmon Esrei. There's a cute word that's considered just a point of interest. It's quoted from the Maggid of Mizrich, The Magid Mezrich has this yisod, a different spin on a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that if a person has a machshava ra, so a Kosh Baruch Hu is not mitzarif alamaisa. If you intend to do something wrong, so your machshava doesn't count unless you actually do it. And it's different when it comes to a mitzvah, so that your machshava can count for a maisa, can be counted together with a maisa to be something real. Kosh Baruch Hu mitzarif machshava lamaisa. So that's the way the Gemara really is intending to say. The Magid Mezrich understood it to be that when it comes to Averis, except for the exceptions the Gemara says, when it comes to Averis, your machshava doesn't really have any effect. And it's only in mitzvahs that your machshava has an effect. So therefore, he has a couple of Gemaras he wants to explain based on that. For example, the Gemara says in Shabbos, in Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, that it's usher to talk about choldika things on Shabbos, Dabur Dover. So, but the Gemara says that hirhur is mutter, it's mutter to think about it. But we'll see if we get far enough. The Gemara tells us, at least according to one opinion, hirhur is kedibor. So what's the difference between thinking about it and talking about it? So the Magid Mezrich says, no, that hirhur kedibor to fulfill mitzvahs. If you're thinking about it, you can fulfill a mitzvah that way. But for an avera of divrei chol on Shabbos, so machshav is not going to work. Or for example, the Rishonim saying in the beginning of Temura that if you have Temura, the Torah says, the Torah prohibits Temura, right? Temura basically means if I makdish an animal and then I decide actually I want this animal, I'd rather give my less interesting animal for the Beis HaMikdash, so I want to try to switch this carbon to that, so that's prohibited to do, and kind of as a knas, apparently the Torah says both animals are kodesh. So the Rishonim saying in the beginning of Temura that Temura doesn't work for machshav. If I just think it and I don't actually say it, so then Temur doesn't work. So Achronim ask, but by Hektish, Machshava does work. And Temur is just a version of Hektish. It's a prohibited Hektish, but it's basically the same mechanism as Hektish. So why should it be that by Hektish, Machshava works, and by Temur it doesn't? So again, the Magid Mezrich says, because by Hektish, that could be a mitzvah, so then your Machshava counts. But to do an Aveiru of Temur, so Machshava is not going to count. So again, he wants to say that maybe that's Peshat and Rashi here in this dispute. That in order to fulfill the mitzvah of participating in Kedusha, so fine, so for that your machshava is going to work. So Shemei Kaona can work for that. But to do an Avera, to be Masik, the middle of Shemon Esrei, it's not going to count. So the same action, he could say, like, that's how he would respond to Tosfos, that the same action can work for a mitzvah, but it's not going to give you an Avera. Okay, that's a little bit of a different approach on the whole thing. But it's generally taken that the dispute between Rashi and Tosfos is like we're saying, that according to Rashi, Shemei Kaona means you join in on what's happening, and according to Tosfos, it means that you're actually saying the words. Now, these two perspectives have different advantages. Because on the one hand, to say you're joining in, so that helps us for situations like Kiddush, and Megillah, things like that, where there are components which the people listening don't always have. So to take a chazanishtik of you and believe that you're joining in on their mitzvah, so it helps take that perspective. But there are other dinim where it's not going to help, where the Beis Halevi type view is going to be more valuable. For example, perhaps in our case of Kriya Shema, if you're going to take a view that, for example, when it comes to Kriya Shema, there's a principle that everyone should mekabel malchus shamayim for themselves. That it's not appropriate, or dibartem bam, everyone should do dibor by themselves. So then, really, the Beis Halevi's take on Shemei HaKohanim is going to help you more. Because if you say, like a chazanish type approach, that you join in on that guy's Kriya Shema, so that's exactly what we're trying to discourage here. That Kriya Shema is a personal thing that you should be doing on your own. And to do it through somebody else is not going to help. But if you say, like the Beis Halevi, that Shemei HaKohanim means you're saying the words yourself, so then you can say, yes, I understand that Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim was a personalized thing that I should be doing on my own. But through the mechanism of Shemei HaKohanim, I am doing it on my own. And therefore, that should be just as good. And even if such a drasha exists, that everyone should be saying Kriya Shema on their own, if you take a Beis Halevitic view, you may nonetheless come to the conclusion that Shemei HaKohanim could still be a viable plan. Now, we mentioned before, right?
Can you say for both that Kriya Shema would work?
Can't you say for both? Well, if in theory you could say for both, but the question is if you're going to come with some type of drasha that says that no, Kriya Shema is special, that everyone should be doing it individually, which we don't necessarily have a real marker for that, but there are those who have such theories. So, and Yerushalayim may sound like that, and the drum, those things that we're talking about. So you could say, okay, fine, I accept that. But within the Beis HaLevi's view, I'm pretty much following those rules.
When that
the Chazon Ish's rule, you could say, no, the Chazon Ish, you could say that Shemaya Ka'onah means I join in on your mitzvah, and Kriya Shema, we're davke asking you not to do that, we're asking you to do it yourself.
So it seems like you go both ways, even for the, even if you're saying that there's a special drasha for Kriya Shema that you do it yourself, so then that should also, it seems like it's coming just left, okay, Shemaya Ka'onah.
Right.
It should go against even this lady to you that. And this is something that you can't, it's just taking you out of the whole category that you can't.
I mean, that if it's a real drush and a pasuk, what's the chiddush going to be otherwise, we're saying?
Yeah.
Right, that if it's a real din, which it may not be, it could be that this is just somebody's svara, so then you could say, all right, I respect your svara, but I think that this, that the Beis HaLevi's approach fulfills that svara, while the Chazon Ish's may not. You find this discussion, for example, also by Sfira Sa'omer, that there are some svarim that say that Sfira Sa'omer should also not have Shemei Ka'onah because Torah says Svartim Lachem. So it should be a sphere of called Echad Yechad. So again, that could also depend on how you take it. That you can say, okay, fine, in a Chazanish Dika world, I'd be joining in somebody else's sphere. But in a Beis HaLevi Dika world, I'm saying the words. And maybe that should be just as good. Hi.
You could say that it should work even according to the Beis HaLevi because Kriya Shema depends on whether or not is the mitzvah to be Mekabel Ol Malchut Shemayim, and the way we do that is by saying Shema Yisrael, or is the mitzvah to say Shema Yisrael, and thereby you're Mekabel Ol Malchut
Shemayim. So you went to using the Karen Oros approach that I mentioned earlier, saying that goes even beyond the Beis HaLevi. Right. Maybe the mitzvah is not really the words at all, and that saying the words could just be a smokescreen. If you don't have your proper Kabbal Sol Malchut Shemayim, it's not going to be good. Mm-hmm. Although, in theory, you could do both at the same time. You could be listening, and while you're listening, have the proper Kabbalah, in theory.
I just want to say that you have to be doing the basic goof in order to have that message in our das.
If you're saying that there has to be, that you have to be saying the words. Well, we don't consider speech a maisa halachically. Even when it's edus, we don't consider it a maisa. So I don't know if that's.
You never use
Hebrew,
though, to create more das, or you need more maisa.
If you're going to say you need a maisa, when we're talking about a maisa means more than speech. Right. Usually. Hi.
According to Rashi, would you be able to Birkas Kohanim with four areas up?
According to who?
According to Rashi.
Could you be able to Birkas Kohanim? So it could be that maybe not, because it could be that there's even more involved in Birkas Kohanim. And again, Birkas Kohanim is its own topic where there are other reasons, unlike the Netziv came at it from different angles, there are other reasons why they might be an issue. But it just happens to be the particular reason the Beis HaLevi seized on is a springboard for discussing these components. What you'd actually say as far as Birkas Kohanim is more of a debate on. We can talk about that also, but it's a little bit of a tangent. So just to get, let's see how much, let's see if we finish this before we finish today, or maybe we'll spill over a little bit into tomorrow. That so we mentioned at the beginning that the Shagas Aryeh disagrees with the Shagas Aryeh came before and said differently than the Gra. Shagas Aryeh took as a Dabar Pashut that Shemaya Ka'oneh does work by Kriya Shema. And the topic of his discussion in Siman Vav was whether or not a mute person, a person who is not capable of speech, so can he fulfill mitzvahs of speech, such as Kriya Shema is in his discussion, through listening to somebody else. And to make this point, he quotes the Shiboli HaLeket. And the Shiboli HaLeket is a third position on the machlokas we were just talking about, Rashi and Tosfos. Right, the question of whether or not it's appropriate to stop in the middle of Shmona Esrei and listen to Kedusha, so we mentioned earlier Rashi and Tosfos. The Shiboli HaLeket is a third version. Shiboli HaLeket says, no, don't stop, not because we're worried about a hefsek, but because it's not even going to help. According to the Shiboli HaLeket, this Eitz of Rashi is not going to work. Why not? Because we have a rule, the Mishnah says in Menachos, this is Gemara Bava Basra, we have a rule of Kol HaRoi Lubila. Ain bila ma'keves, v'kol she'ain aroy l'bila bila ma'keves. What does that mean? It means, we'll see if we can say this without going into a specific example, that there is a rule the Gemara has in a number of contexts, that when the Torah tells you to do a mitzvah, l'chachila, when you have a mitzvah that has a l'chachila way and a b'di'evid way. So then, kind of by definition, the l'chachila way, it's not ma'kev. It means you can get away without doing it. But, the Gemara suggests that it has to be possible to do it l'chachila. That if you're doing the mitzvah in such a way that the l'chachila option is not even possible, So then that's ma'akev. And when we have an aspect of l'chachila, it means you have to at least do it in a way that l'chachila is an option. But if l'chachila is impossible, so then it's ma'akev, then it's b'di'ed. Right, basically the example, to include mentioning the example then, the example the Gemara is talking about a mincha has to be stirred up. So, but if you didn't stir it up, then it doesn't have bila, then it's still good. But if it's too full, but it's impossible to stir, then it's no good. So the Gemara says it has to be roy with bila, it has to be possible for you to stir it. So then the fact you don't actually stir it doesn't matter. But if it's impossible to stir it, so then the fact you didn't stir it does matter. So too, says the Shiboli Haleket, that if it were possible for you to speak, so then you could use Shemei Ka'oneh, the actual speaking is not ma'akev. But if it's impossible for you to speak, and here it's a bigger chiddush, it's impossible because of halacha, the reason it's impossible for you to speak is because you can't be masik in Shmon Esrei, so then Shemei Ka'oneh is not even an option. That's the third position that the Shibboleth Halakhah takes. So the Shagas Aryeh discusses whether or not this is applicable to a new lane. So let's say if you have a mute person who wants to be able to say Kriya Shema after listening to somebody else, so you could say, well, it's impossible for him to talk physically, so therefore the fact that he's not talking is ma'akev. If he could talk, so then he doesn't have to actually talk, he could listen. But since he can't talk, so therefore Shema Kona is not going to be an option for him. But the Shagas Aryeh disagrees with this. He says, no, the whole rule of Kalaroy Labila is not applicable to Shema Kona. Because the whole rule of kalaroi labila means that if you have a l'charchila and a b'di'evet way, you have to at least be possible to do it in the l'charchila way. But when we're dealing with shamei ka'ona, so there's no l'charchila and b'di'evet. It's that this is an equally viable option for fulfilling the mitzvah. And therefore, the whole rule of kalaroi labila is not applicable. And even if it's not actually possible for somebody to speak, they can avail themselves of the alternative route of Shema Ka'ona. Now, whether or not there is any aspect Chachila B'di'evet to Shema Ka'ona, so one could possibly suggest that this may depend on how you understand what's going on with Shema Ka'ona. Is it that you're actually really saying it? So therefore, one could really argue that this is really just as good as actually saying the words. Or is it that it's some way of joining in on a different person's fulfillment? In which case, maybe one could hear more that that's a type of a secondary type of level. Now, the problem with this is going to be, by the way, that it's not going to really work with this tosis. At least on the surface. We'll discuss in a second how it could work. We are wrapping it up, though. That the tosis in Brachas that we were talking about, so this same Tosfos has an opinion which I don't think is accepted in a widespread way. The Tosfos that says that l'charchila one should not use Shema Ka'ona. That in general, when doing mitzvahs, it's better to be mahadar to say it yourself. So now we've been understanding Tosfos, the same Tosfos, as saying that Shema Ka'ona is if you're literally saying the words yourself. And yet, Tosfos is the one who says l'charchila you shouldn't use Shema Ka'ona. So that would sound as if it doesn't stem with what we just said a minute ago. Except that you could say that, again, this Tosfos doesn't really mean that we're talking about l'chachila in the sense of l'chachila and b'di'evet. But rather, this is what Dov has been asking about, and I keep saying we'll get to, that l'maisa, there's a rule that mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucha, that the more you put your own active involvement into something, the better it is. The more schar you get in general for any level of greater personal involvement, the better off you're going to be. So Tosfos is recommending that if you can actually take the effort to say the words yourself, so that's a higher level of schar for you, so l'chachila it's a good idea to do. But doesn't necessarily mean to say that Shema Ka'ona itself is a b'di'evet. Could be that he could recognize that Shema Ka'ona is an equally valid way of doing the mitzvah. Just happens to be that in general, whenever I have an option that's going to involve a little more effort, and an option that's going to involve less effort, so the option that's going to involve more effort is going to be more rewarding for me spiritually. So he recommends doing that. But not necessarily to go so far as to say that he really believes it's a b'di'evet in the literal b'di'evet sense. Hi? You up first? Sorry?
What about a case of Barovam Hadrasmel?
So then that is another type of hiddur, which when you're weighing up different hidurim, so then that comes into play. And very often that hiddur is preferred. Hi?
Just something that Shema Ka'ona is actually saying it. So let's just fill this out
a little more. So it's interesting that So on the one hand, you could say, as we discussed, you could say either you're fulfilling a mitzvah yourself, or you're fulfilling a mitzvah through somebody else. So if you're fulfilling a mitzvah through somebody else, so that kind of smells a little bit like shlichus. Right? So now we know that there is a principle in halacha of shlichus, that if I send somebody else to do something, and it, you know, it follows all the rules, so then I can fulfill the mitzvah through somebody else's actions. So Shemaya Ka'onis sounds like a similar concept. And the Kajig Lover Rav, as we mentioned, is given to creative comparisons. The Kajig Lover Rav actually took this very literally and understood it to be that really Shemaya Ka'onis basically is Shlichus, and wanted to explain a lot of the halachas that you find in Shemaya Ka'onis based on Shlichus. For example, there's a Tosus that says that you can't be Yotzei Shemaya Ka'onis halfway, you have to go all the way. Again, whether that's accepted or not is a question, how that would relate to the middle point is a question. But the Kajig Lover explains that based on Rishonim and the Ran and Gittin and others who say that Shlichus only works all the way or not at all. You can't have Shlichus halfway. So too, you can't have Shemaya Ka'onis halfway. And this idea in Tosus that it's better to do it yourself. So he says, again, that's mitzvah b'yosim b'shlucho. That the literal principle of Shlichus has a rule that better you do it on your own rather than do Shlichus. So too, by Shemaya Ka'onis, better you do it on your own rather than through Shlichus. So then the question is, if it's mamash equal, so then why would we apply mitzvah bo at all? So you have to understand what exactly is the lamedus of mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho, which is a very tangential discussion. Just to say it in one word, you can understand mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho as just some responsibility that you're the one who's signing the form as the guy doing it, or that it's just a kind of a sliding principle that the more you're involved, the better off you are. So again, that even if you're absolutely considered to have said the words yourself through somebody else, nonetheless, if you're saying it physically, you're still doing more, and the more you do, the better. And so as much as Shemaya Ka'onis might mean mamash like you're saying the words, still there might still be an eitzah to get more involved. In any case, hi. Sure. So also we're going to review. So should we start the review and then I'll go on to the beginning? Okay, just to quickly sum up as we wrap it up, and maybe we'll fill in a few more points tomorrow, but just to quickly wrap it up. So basically we discussed the fact that the Vilna Gaon says that Shemaya Ka'onis doesn't work by Kriya Shema. We discussed various opinions whether this is true or not. There is Shemaya Ka'onis, only a minion. And we discussed various svaras, why it should be. Is there some type of a maisa type of aspect to it? Is it that there's a drasha, whether it's a real drasha or not, that tells us that everyone should mekabel malchus shemayim on their own? And then we discussed, is that really a question when it comes to Shemaya Ka'onis? And we mentioned Beis Halevi's objection to the opinion that was stated that one could do Birkas Ka'onis through Shemaya Ka'onis. And Beis Halevi says it's not true because it has the extra component of Kol Ram. And he's understood to mean that anytime there's anything more than just plain black on white speech, so Shemaya Ka'onis doesn't work. And the Briskers understood it more as saying that just the component of communication is the issue here, but not that Beis Halevi was saying anything broader than that. But many others understood it this way, is that Shemaya Ka'onis is just speech, and the Chazon Ish understood it differently. The Shemaya Ka'onis means you join in on somebody else's mitzvah, which is what helps us for Kiddush and Havdalah, for Kiddush and Megillah and things like that. And we mentioned that these two positions seem to be in the Rambam. The Rambam says if you hear a bracha, you're Yotzei, but if you say Amen, it's like you said it yourself. And then we mentioned the dispute between Rashi and Tosus as to what you do if you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and you hear Kedusha, that according to Rashi, you should stop and be Yotzei through Shemaya Ka'onis, and according to Tosus, you shouldn't do that because of the issue of Hefsek. And we discussed how that seems to line up. We mentioned Magid Mizrich's Vort on Machshava and Maisa. And then we got to the question of the Shragas Ayi's piece, Shragas Ayi saying that assuming that Kriya Shema does have Shemaya Ka'onis, according to Shiboli HaLeket, it says that Rashi's Eitz about stopping the Shemoneh Esrei is not going to work because of Kol Roi Labila, that's not possible for you to answer, so therefore Shemaya Ka'onis is not an option either, and the Shragas Ayi disputes that because there's no Lechachilim B'dievet here, it's all fine. And then we discussed that question, is there really perhaps Lechachilim B'dievet that maybe it depends on how you understand it? Did we miss the point of it? Okay. So, but within this Tosfos would be an issue because the minority opinion in Rishonim that Shemaya Ka'onis is kind of b'dievet is the same Tosfos which seems to be saying that Shemaya Ka'onis is literally like saying it. And we discuss the difference is b'di'evad and is b'di'evad, that maybe Tosfos is just giving you an asa to get more schar, but is not really saying that Shemek Onan is really a b'di'evadic way of doing things. And we discuss the Kajuk Lava Rav's understanding that Shemek Onan is really shlichus, which you find in other svarim as well, but he says it more absolutely, it's really literally shlichus, following all the same rules of shlichus, and using that approach to explain a lot of the rules that we find in the Shemek Onan are coming out of shlichus, similar to what this Tosfos is saying, that the principle of mitzvah b'yosim shlucho is applicable to shlichus as well.
Yes. Those who say that there is no Shemei Kona or Kirishma, other than saying that each and every Jew has to be in the Kabbalah Malchus Shemei, what are the svaras given about the time of separating out Kirishma? See, you don't have the issues, you don't have the Kahanim issues.
Right, no, it's not about that. So it's not about, but what it seems to be about is really the dominant one is the one that you did say, that perhaps the way the Yerushalmi sounds, that it sounds like everyone should be, Yerushalmi uses the phrase Mishanin Bifid, everyone should be learning on their own. Assumption is what he means is that everyone who's doing this personal aspect of accepting Malchus Shemayim should be doing that individually. Or the Abidram traced it to the Dibartim Bam, that every one of you should be doing a Dibor. Those are the types of. So that's how the Lev of Ram and others understood that really this is only a concept that came later, and that really Min HaTorah would be good, and it's only Midrabanan that there were suggestions not to do it that way. Which would be consistent with every source, because it's hard pressed to find a source that really says that in Daraisa you can't. The rise that the Gra is going to bring, or the rise that others are bringing, mostly from practice. So it could be that in practice, it was recommended not to do it this way, and perhaps because it's missing, or it's possibly missing some of the components of what Kriyashma is about. So then the question becomes, is it really missing that component? Do we say that Shemei Kaona is really as if you're hopping a ride with somebody else, like the Chazanesh, in which case maybe it is missing something? Or do we say it's really like you're saying it yourself, in which case, what's the difference between you're saying it verbally and you're saying it mentally? If you're saying it mentally, has the same impact. Okay, so maybe we'll say a few more words about this tomorrow, but for the most part, we'll just try to tie up loose ends on Beis and Mebeis and Gimel and as far as we go. So just go forward with that. And Beis Hashem, next week we'll have a little talk about Zmanim. Okay, Shkarech.
Somebody said something about chicken chow. What's going on? Yeah. It's tonight?
Chicken what?
It's tonight or for lunch?
Chicken what?
Chicken chow. No, shalom. The pickup that Rabbi Weil was talking about. Is that lunch or supper?
Supper.
Why? Huh? So. You want for lunch?
Yeah.
I have to go put gas in it.
Yeah.
That pickup that Rabbi Weil was talking about. That was for supper, not lunch. Lunch is still supper, the same old thing. Someone goes
more? All four for have to have fish and egg salad and bacon bun and garlic.
So what is it here for supper?
I would have a chicken chow. Chinese.
What? Chinese?
Whatever he sounds like. Correct.
What are we doing lunch?
Do you have any good ideas?
No. People are going to die? Is that an idea?
He's not a fan.
To go quickly? Lunch?
Yeah,
have to book me in my car because I have to get gas. I'll drop you guys off if you want to order and I'll go get gas. Or is it a walking place? Because you walk. I have no idea. I don't know the area.
It's a walking place. Okay. You guys really hate tuna fish, don't you?
I don't know, so we can not eat tuna. I don't care.
Because you already have a couple days a week where you're not getting lunch from the shul.
Like what?
Sunday and Friday and Sunday.
What is Friday and Sunday? Friday and Sunday.
Normally, yeah. So just like.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think I don't have to eat lunch.
No, meaning like, so you might just like eat here. Like, you already have to eat out a few days a week.
So you're saying the way I look at it is like this. Since Sunday and Monday and Friday, not Friday, but. Well, maybe Friday, depends what happens at the end with the receipts. But since
you might be able to bring your rest on Friday for Friday's time?
Since in
theory, the children pay for those, so this is like
theory,
you're eating
Friday,
out.
Friday, we get to eat out lunch, which will then pay whatever it is. But let's even say it doesn't. Okay,
so you're not paying for your time,
but certainly Sunday, you're usually going to get hooked up for somewhere.
But like, oh yeah, I should call Eric Silverman, because we have barbecue this Sunday. We have barbecue this Sunday.
Who?
No, it's the day before, the 90s. Eric Silverman.
Oh, you saw him?
Yeah,
usually like
if you call, yeah, it's broken to him. He said he wanted to have us over.
Usually we get hooked up.
So should we go right now? Should I make a barbecue Sunday afternoon? Right this second?
Somebody else want to make a barbecue?
Who?
He's
gonna have some hamburgers. People, I cook barbecue. We have pasta and then hamburgers.
All right. So should I go? Should I call our someone right now?
Like how many hot dogs can
I have? I can't answer this question.
Well,
why not?
I don't speak for the Hamona.
Well, why not about me and you? We'll have barbecue just the two of us.
Just
Sean, you want in?
Yes,
I'm. Alright.
Do you guys want to go
to Sunday?
You want
something? I'm not going to
Big Bad. Although it's funny, they gave me the car with a gazillion maps. I have all these awesome maps.
You want something? Let's
do that.
You want to do Sandy?
I want to go to the zoo.
No. Thank you.
This thing, it's not about the answer.
It is about the answer. Yeah, sure.
This is about the answer.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear that?
And it costs $1,000.
What?
$500. $250? $250. I can't drink coffee and make it.
I was gonna take it. Can you use it now?
It's a good joke. It's a good joke.
Okay. I mean, the quick question, I don't know.
Got it through the Hebrew University real quick.
What did you just say?
I got it through the Hebrew University where my father's a professor for free. So I don't know how much I actually got.
Go.
Josh.
What?
Josh.
Ah.
Sweet. All right.
What's the rule, by the way? What? I have no idea where Kelvin is.
What?
I don't know where he is. Huh? I got black towels too. Listen, could I just wait for six people and then... Yeah. You should have, like, a rule. Do you have a rule? How many people do I wait for Shimon Esser? Six? Ten? 12?
Sakya said it was six, yes I do.
You can with six beside two, but saying which should we wait? Six.
Gracias.